from 90.1 WFYI Public Radio. Welcome to the Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.
Hello and welcome to The Art of the Matter. I'm Sharon Gamble. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buscelli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
And I'm Travis DiNicola. For today's show, we'll have some music and some dance. I'll start with bluegrass musician David Bagdade.
I'll chat with jazz and blues musicians about a new project.
And I'll get a preview of the upcoming Modus Dance Performance Pairings. Plus, there'll be our calendar events we call
What Do We Do? All that and more right after the latest news from NPR. Author and musician David Bagdade is part of the group Diamond Hill Station. Their new CD of original bluegrass music is titled Katie, Bar the Door. Travis DiNicola spoke with David about the new CD.
David, welcome back to Art of Matter. Great to see you again.
Great to be back here, Travis.
So we were here about a year ago when your last CD came out. Some really fun original bluegrass music featuring you on mandolin, right?
And guitar and bass. And a couple other things.
Yeah, and I love that CD. A lot of fun. And then,
thank you very much.
And now you've got a new CD out, but it's you, but none of the same guys, right? So tell me how this all sort of came together here. Yeah, so who else is on the CD with you, Diamond Hill Station?
This is a band called Diamond Hill Station, as you correctly noted. The band's been around for 10 years, celebrating our 10th year this year. And the last album that we talked about, History in My Hands, was very much my solo album.
Yes, and that was a big deal for you because you actually got to play some vintage instruments, I remember, and that was,
yes.
In fact, there's a great tune on there that's sort of an ode to one of them.
That's correct.
Yeah.
There's a tune about finding the sort of holy grail of vintage acoustic instruments just in a little shop out of the way somewhere.
Right.
And that was the title track of that album, History in My Hands.
Okay.
But Diamond Hill Station is very much a band effort.
Mm-hmm.
We are kind of a creaky democracy, and the band has been around since...
Four guys,
mm-hmm. Guitar, bass, banjo, and mandolin, sort of the essential elements of bluegrass.
Mm-hmm.
The band was founded by Michael White, who's our guitar player,
okay.
And very shortly after, Lloyd Shonk, who's the bass player, joined. I joined in 08, and Bruce Anderson, the banjo player, was playing in my band when an opening came up in Diamond Hill Station, and
okay.
I just brought him over.
Cool. And all you guys actually do vocals on this album.
We do,
mm-hmm.
Which is unusual in bluegrass, and I think it has something to do with the fact that we're all writers,
mm-hmm.
Which is also very unusual in bluegrass. And what makes this album, we think, particularly unique is that every song on the album was written by somebody in the band.
That's a pretty cool thing, and that is pretty very unique. I mean, I remember last time we were talking about your album, you know, how unusual it is, in fact, to have new original bluegrass music being written in general. A lot of, you know, there's a lot of great bluegrass music out there. Most of it, you know, covers of traditional bluegrass songs. But what you guys are doing here?
The thing about it is, a lot of even the top bands in bluegrass use outside writers.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a lot of new bluegrass music being created, but it is not often being created by the bands who are recording it.
Yeah.
And some of the very best bands out there use outside writers.
And this is a real mix. I mean, everybody, the four guys, yourself included, that you mentioned, everyone's got a couple songs on here, right?
Yep. Everybody has at least two, and yeah. Mike's got four, and it's pretty evenly spread.
Now, I did notice as I was listening to it, and we were actually chatting beforehand, there's a couple of lyrics that just stand out from a couple of songs that you wrote that I remember from your solo CD that are on this album that you're doing with the other guys that just sound great. One in particular that just makes me laugh every time that I hear it is Somebody Else's Problem. That's a great song. It's fun to hear the four of you guys do it, too.
No, I appreciate that. We have a good time with that one. We actually did that with an earlier version of this band.
Okay.
And then the band took a break for a little while, which allowed me to do some things and allowed the other guys to do some things that they wanted to do. And one of the things that I ended up doing during that time was recording my album.
Nice.
So we'd sort of pulled together the arrangement, and the arrangement is similar on my album, but it's really nice to have the unique contributions of these guys because I think we play very well together and we all bring a little something different to the table. So it's really nice to have the perspective of a group effort.
Sure.
One of the problems when you're doing a solo album and you're calling all the shots is that you can kind of get tunnel vision.
Mm-hmm.
It's very hard when you are producing the album and you've written all the songs and you've chosen all the people on it and you're doing all the arrangements to really kind of step back and view it objectively. And I think that's something that it's difficult for me and it's difficult for most people who are in that
sure.
situation, who are sort of a, you know, a one-man shop.
But with
which
the four
is one
of you.
The nice things about this band. And we actually had an outside producer.
Mm-hmm.
So we had another voice in the mix as well.
Now, the title of the album is Katie Bar the Door. Let's actually take a listen to the title track. You want to tell me anything about it before we listen to that?
Absolutely. It's a song that I wrote. I'd been reading a lot about the Dust Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And I read a great history of the Dust Bowl. And a lot of the songs that I write are sort of rooted in history or rooted in real people. And it just kind of put me in mind of a situation being in no man's land in the area of Oklahoma that was referred to as no man's land out in the early part of the 20th century, and being a couple out there and really kind of being at the mercy of nature and storms in particular, and trying to see it from the perspective of a husband trying to make a go of it in no man's land,
mm-hmm.
and you know, being responsible for family and just not really having a lot of control over some of the things that happen out there.
Well, let's take a listen to Katie Bar the Door. This is the Diamond Hill Station.
Think I'll go outside and chop some firewood. Keep my baby warm like a good husband should. Katie, won't you fix me up a pot of beans and mend that rip in my old blue jeans? Things are real pleasant here in no man's land. Feels like we've been here since time began. The only thing that gets me is weighing stone some days. Looking up, see another on the way. Katie, by the door before the storm begins. It won't do to let the wind and water in. There's a darkness in the sky I ain't seen before. These old bones won't take much more. Katie, by the door.
And that was Katie Bar the Door, the title track from Diamond Hill Station's new CD. And I am here with David Bagdad. And let's see, David, I wanted to ask you, you talked about how, you know, you found inspiration for this from the Dust Bowl. And I'm looking at the cover of your new CD, and there's a huge dust cloud just rolling in. It's a great photograph, if not a bit ominous, I suppose.
Yes.
Tell me a bit about that.
Well, I did a lot of research when I was actually designed the album cover as well.
Yeah.
And just went looking for historic photos, you know, preferably those that were not rights protected.
Mm-hmm.
And just wanted to see, in addition to using the book for inspiration, I also sort of used the photos to kind of put me in mind of the types of things that somebody might encounter.
Sure.
You know, seeing a dust cloud coming and knowing there's nothing you can do about it and how horrifying and frightening that must have been for the people who actually had to live through that.
Tell me a bit about the track Nashville County Line. That's one that one of the other guys wrote, right?
Yeah, Mike wrote that one.
Mm-hmm.
It's one of our favorites. We've opened shows with it at times. And it's a very, very familiar theme in bluegrass and in popular music in general, just trying to get back to the one you love.
Let's take a listen to that one. And again, this is the Diamond Hill Station, and the track we're about to listen to is Nashville County Line.
Train, 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 gotta get me home on time. Train, 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 gotta get me there by nine. Fire, make it hot, my gals waiting on the Nashville County Line. Well, steam keeps on rolling, snow keeps on choking, and every little town that we pass by. Car is a rockin', engine G's a knocking, throw the cold turbos that let her fly. Train, 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 gotta get me home on time. By nine. Stoke the fire, make it
And that was Nashville County Line from the Diamond Hill Station CD, Katie, Bar the Door. So, David, it sounds like, I mean, the four of you guys, you, Michael White, Lloyd Shonk, and Bruce Anderson, just had a lot of fun putting this CD together.
At times we did.
labor of love.
It was a labor, that's for sure. We really spent a lot of time working on this. We had some, you know, some false starts along the way and changed venues once or twice. And I would like to think that the final product gives some indication of all the time and labor that went into it, because we were working on it for probably about a year and a half.
Now, of course, bluegrass music is, I think, most fun when it's heard live. And you guys have some live shows coming up as well?
Absolutely. We don't play a lot in the Indianapolis area.
Yeah.
So coming up will be a sort of a rare chance to actually see us within the city limits. We'll be playing at the Irvington Folk Festival on the afternoon of Sunday, June 2nd.
Excellent.
We're playing at 1:30 p.m. Information will be available on our site, which is DiamondHillStationBand.com,
okay,
as well as on the Irvington Folk Festival site.
Very good.
And we will be doing primarily a gospel set, as it is a Sunday afternoon.
Oh, nice. Very cool. Okay. We'll definitely keep that in mind. And again, that's out in Irvington on June 2nd. Any other concerts around the state or something that you can give us a heads up on for right now?
Well, we're on kind of a light schedule this summer,
yeah,
because guys will be traveling and we've all got other things that we've got to do. But we are playing a festival in Jacksonville, Illinois on July 21st. And we're going to precede that with a CD release show. We've already done one CD release concert up at the Hedgehog in Arcadia, which is a room that we really like to play. We'll be back there in late September.
Okay.
And we'll be doing one in Terre Haute, which is sort of where the band is based, on July 13th at the Coffee Grounds.
Nice. I know.
That's a Saturday night.
And again, all that's on your website?
Absolutely.
There's, along with some really fun vocals on here, and I noticed one thing about the vocals. A lot, you guys sing pretty low, and you know, a lot of that bluegrass picking, the notes are pretty high. There's an interesting contrast at times on the CD.
And there's a very simple reason for that.
Hmm.
None of us can sing as high as Bill Monroe.
Well, there you go. There are some really great instrumental pieces. And the one that struck me that I just really like a lot, it's just a fun piece, is Storm in the Skillet. And I want to take a listen to that as we close out. Anything you want to add about that piece?
Oh, absolutely. Bruce Anderson is kind of a bit of a secret in the bluegrass community, and we're doing everything we can to change that, because he is an amazing talent. He's a great composer. He's got three tunes on the album, a vocal and two instrumentals, and the vocal is not really anything like you've ever heard in bluegrass, and the instrumentals definitely are not.
Yeah.
One of them, he's got a little bit of the beret from Bach in the beginning, and then a little bit of minor swing at the end, and just kind of goes all different places.
That's the Tailspin Fugue? The
Tailspin Fugue at about 100 miles an hour. And Storm in the Skillet, the one that we're going to listen to here, is a particular favorite of mine. It's got really kind of a rock energy to it. And it really just gives us all the chance to sort of spread our wings on it. It's just a great tune. And he's just a brilliant composer and musician. We're very, very lucky to get him into the band.
Excellent. Well, David, always a pleasure to see you. Thanks for coming into Art of the Matter today.
Thanks for having me.
Travis DiNicola with musician David Bagdade, part of the bluegrass group Diamond Hill Station. The group will be performing at the Irvington Music Fest on June 2nd. You can get more information at DiamondHillStationBand.com. DiamondHillStationBand.com. You're listening to The Art of the Matter on WFYI 90.1 FM Public Radio.
Jazz saxophonist Rob Dixon enjoys the kind of go-to reputation that all musicians aspire to. Artists in all sorts of genres who need a sax on their project call him first. So it's no surprise that Rob's in the center of a stellar group of R&B artists who played together at last year's Jazz Fest. And they reprised their collaboration last winter at the Jazz Kitchen and are about to launch their CD, The Blue Side. Sharon Gamble invited saxophonist Rob Dixon, singer Tad Robinson, singer-guitarist Gordon Bonham, and percussionist executive producer Rob on Tedrow in to learn more.
Each of you, where is the line between jazz and blues? What's the tipping point? Rob, I'm going to start with you.
Okay. I think jazz and blues, for me, they go hand in hand. The blues form is something that came out of America, and jazz, blues is like paramount. Like, it's one of the first things you learn is the blues form in jazz. And so I think that they are more similar and they are more connected than people realize. I just feel like blues is such a strong form of music that it kind of took on a genre on its own, you know. And I think that they were at one point, I mean, blues and jazz were married together and pretty much the same. I mean, like, jazz artists play blues, and they were called, and they weren't necessarily called jazz artists, but like, that was primarily the style and the form that they played. But blues music, being as strong as it is just kind of took a, like, almost just a separate direction. And you could say, I guess they're like brother and brother, or sister and brother, or something like that, in the same family.
I love it. Yeah. So you know, if we look up Indianapolis jazz, we find Rob's photo. If we look up Indianapolis blues, we find Tad and Gordon. So, Tad, line between jazz and blues.
Well, for me, I think that blues has always historically been a vocalist's form. You know, historically, way back in the day, blues was usually sung by a solitary person, maybe accompanying themselves on guitar or piano. And in my life, the great jazz musicians I've known have always been great instrumentalists. You know, it's mostly an instrumental form. A lot of the great horn players imitate the sounds of blues singers, but most of the great jazz music that I've heard is instrumental, whereas blues is the singer's domain. And you know, the great blues singers were people like Bessie Smith and Muddy Waters and Howlin' Wolf and et cetera, et cetera. So I relate to blues as a vocal form. And this project that we did is bringing the great instrumentalists of the jazz world in Indianapolis, some of these great players, and they're kind of coming over to Gordon and my world where, and they're saying, hey, how can we accompany you singers and bring something new to what you do? So it was a great experience to be able to work with their great instrumentation and great playing and backing up this new crop of blues singers and putting it together.
Gordon?
I'll agree with Tad on the singing and vocalist part of blues. Quite often it was a person with a guitar or a harmonica or whatever singing and accompanying themselves. But for me, as a guitarist and instrumentalist, I think of the blues has a simpler chord structure and a simpler vocabulary of phrasings and notes that you play. And jazz is more complex. So for myself as a blues player fitting in with these guys, I feel like I have a slightly not as good a vocabulary, but I'm going to try and say what I can say in their context. And it works. I'm just have fewer things to work with, and it's exciting to try and wedge mine into what they're doing.
Yeah, I mean, that's interesting that you say that, because I mean, primarily the language vocabulary, the improvisational vocabulary that jazz players use, if you get to the root of it, it's basically the blues. So, I mean, it's just, you know, you can say that was, I guess it's just semantics in a way. You can say a word to express that you're really happy or you're elated, you know, or you can say, I'm thinking about something, or I'm pontificating. They both mean the same thing, right?
So, slightly different connotation, though.
Slightly, yeah. You know, and for many people it might be a slightly different meaning. Well, actually a different meaning.
Or wait, let's mull that.
Right, okay. Well, see, right there.
Yeah, well, yeah, and that struck me, too, listening to this album. I mean, it's like, it's all kind of academic. What does it matter, whether it's jazz or blues or even... Okay, a little bit of almost rockabilly vibe comes in on Big Stick Blues. Kind of love that, you know, that galloping kind of driven quality. There's some pieces that go into ballads, like the piece Rob, you and Cynthia Lane wrote, All Over Again.
Oh, right.
Yeah. And Ron, as the as percussionist and executive producer, does it... Is there a difference in how you produced this album as opposed to, I mean, did you say, I'm going to do it this way because I wanted to have more of a rhythm and blues feel, or does it matter?
Well, this is my first venture into production, and, you know, I leaned heavily on Rob. Rob's the creative genius behind this, and I was more or less along for the ride and just thrilled to be involved, and... I'm just really happy with the product, thrilled with it, I guess you could say.
So this, the CD is the physical souvenir of a project that y'all did together for Jazz Fest last year, right?
That is correct.
How did you know each other, or where'd this idea come from? Because, man, you stole not just the firepower in the room, but some other great musicians as well who we don't normally get to hear playing together. So where'd this start?
Well, it actually started at a meeting planning Indie Jazz Fest, and we were talking about having a night where we could incorporate musicians like... in the city.
Tad and Gordon are giggling to themselves.
Right.
So,
well, okay. This is what basically.
You're going to tell us about that in a second. Hang on.
So initially it was just like, okay, we're going to get this guy and this guy, and we'll get Tad and Gordon and a few other folks. And we were going to just kind of have a, it was not going to be like the band play together. It was everybody's going to kind of do their thing. And then we're going to attract a lot of people. We're going to have like five different. It initially started out like that, and so we and actually through conversation and people not being available and schedules said, well, what if we just did one band, and then we did, you know, everybody's music. And so the more we got into planning it, the more it made sense to just to have one unified group and to do do songs that people bring to the table. Gordon says, I'm going to bring some songs, and Tad, and then Cynthia, and then we I wrote a little introduction like instrumental that is on here called On the Blue Side, which everybody plays fantastic on. I'm really pushing that because I really like the way everybody sounds.
Yeah, and it's a really cool piece because it's got this kind of ostinato quality, this persistent theme that comes back and back
right.
And back and back, and it's very jazz-driven in that now it's coming back, but in a whole new way. Not that that's exclusive to jazz, but yeah, it's a nice kind of everybody on board piece.
Oh yeah, that's it. We usually start out the night with that piece, like as a little intro, which I thought initially we should do that in the beginning. But then people, you know, I was thinking, why don't we get people the wrong idea that it's an instrumental CD? They play it once, and then they're like, oh, it's just instrumental. Because everything else has vocals, but it's just something that features everybody in the band, and that's basically what this group is about, featuring everybody in the band. So we have some very talented instrumentalists, we have very talented vocalists, and everybody gets featured. So.
Well, the meeting that Rob is talking about, like Gordon and I weren't there, that's why we were giggling.
I see.
Okay, this
they
is
decided
how
us
this,
for us.
Right. Yeah, but that's the way the music business is supposed to work when people are on a jazz festival and they get together and they say, hey, how can we put something together really special for our city that reflects the different aspects of and different facets of the music of that community? And it really does make a lot of sense, because Gordon and I have worked together for many years, off and on, in different projects, and just we've known each other for a long time. And then Kevin Anker, the Hammond player on the disc, the blues side disc, is also the keyboard player that plays in my band. So there's a lot of there's a lot of friendships and connections, and this record is really about connections, musical connections, friend connections, Indianapolis connections, but also worldwide connections, because everybody has a profile that goes beyond India on this disc.
Absolutely.
So I see myself as kind of the soul side of the blues scene, you know, and Gordon is more like the roots Chicago blues side of the blues scene and the Delta music. He encompasses a lot more than just Chicago blues, but he's the blues side of the blues. and then Rob and what Cynthia brings and what Kevin and Reggie and Frank and Kenny bring is more the jazz side of blues. So the record really succeeds in bringing all those elements together. And our friendship has grown from it, because although we've known each other, like, you know, I might have had a corporate event that I had to get the best sidemen in the city to play with me on. So I'd call people like Frank Smith and Reggie and Rob people like that, because those are the cats who play in the city. So it's kind of like the A team. And then when they decided, hey, let's put this project together, it really fed into a relationship that was already kind of there, but this enabled us to really grow together and come up with something that was bigger than all the other things we had done together. So it was really gratifying.
And part of the reason I was chuckling was when Rob asked me, you know, give me 1 second to decide, you know, of course I wanted to do this. And I was very excited about working with all these people and nervous about, oh my gosh, you know, what am I going to do to keep up? And it was very exciting.
Yeah, I mean, it's, we were excited, but what actually I think, I thought it was going to be a great night, but the reaction that we got from a lot of the people that were listening, I never thought that was going to happen. I thought, because we didn't really have a whole lot of time to prepare a set with each other. So it was kind of like, okay, well, I'll jump in, and kind of more like the philosophy of what I have when I do mini gigs, I get in where I fit in, you know? So that was kind of the whole plan of
flying this. Without a net.
Right. Uh-huh. And it worked out great, and people were moved, and I was telling them earlier, there was some guy that was actually started to tear up because he was so emotionally moved by the band.
Wow.
And I was like, wow, okay, well, this must be
something. We've got something.
Yeah. There.
And so you got back together last winter.
Right, in December.
And played at the Jazz Kitchen. And at what point did you say, oh my gosh, we got to commit it to make a CD?
You know, after that first concert, I think, I thought, like, it's inevitable that we should record and try to do something more with this group and expand out, because it has, you know, all sorts of possibilities and potential. You know, so I think doing the CD and recording is just a first step for this group. What is actually really funny is the planning of this CD release party, because as Ted,
did you let them be in the room this time?
Well, they're all the way in.
All right, good.
So now, Tad talked about how, you know, all these guys are top guys and Gordon, and it's like, so planning a CD release party, the first time we did it, it was like people were available and I was like, oh yeah. Second time people were available. The last time planning the CD release party actually was a revelation on the true colors of the situation, and that is everybody is immensely busy. I think I probably emailed no less than 18 different possible dates that either one or another person had conflicts with. So we are very excited to have this solidified CD release date.
And the fact that it's a Saturday night in June says a lot about the respect you guys have for one another, that you know, I mean, you're popular for gigs all the time, but a Saturday night in June, I have to think that's high season for, you've got 15 places you could be playing that night.
Yeah, a lot of us are coming in from other places pretty much, you know, really close by that date. But it worked out great, so it, you know, it's really nice. And that is peak season, and hopefully people will respond and you know, show up for the gig. And because it will be as surprised as they will with the music, because it's still, the project is still evolving. So I think there's a lot of excitement with that aspect of it, that we're not a band that's played together for 5-10 years and kind of set in our ways.
We're still phone it in.
Right. We're still exploring, and it's still exciting for us, for sure, to play down the songs from the disc.
Stay tuned for details.
Sharon Gamble with saxophonist Rob Dixon, singer Tad Robinson, singer guitarist Gordon Bonham, and percussionist executive producer Ron Tedrow, part of the cast of characters from the new CD, The Blue Side. The ensemble will play 2 gigs as part of the CD release party on Saturday, June 15th at 8 and 10 o'clock at the Jazz Kitchen. And you're listening to the title track. Here's a bit more. Yes, Sharon.
You know what arrives this weekend?
What arrives this weekend?
The start of our birthday month.
Birthday month, that's right. Yay. That's right. That's a fun way to open this calendar up. That's
it is. So we have lots of things you can see and do. And I don't know, we might even have gift suggestions on for Travis and Sharon on our calendar recall.
What do we do? Hey, speaking of gifts, here's a pretty big one. I want to shout out a congratulations to the Harrison Arts Center, because they have just been awarded a $100,000 grant for their city gallery from Art Place America. That's pretty cool. And it was chosen from over 1,200 applicants as an exceptional example of creative placemaking. And City Gallery is this really neat sort of part of the Harrison Center for the Arts that connects people to culture and community, and it's about the neighborhoods. And this funding is going to help the City Gallery combine their resources to focus on more creative ways of placemaking in the near north side core neighborhoods, and really great stuff. So congratulations to them for that very cool grant.
I love that. Yeah, that's quite a coup. Hey, there's a new, this isn't an event per se, but if you're a photographer, you want to know about this. There's a new photography studio in Carmel. It's different from other studios in that its main purpose is as a rental studio for photographers who don't have a studio, or maybe have a small studio but need a larger space. They're also getting ready to start up some classes on different aspects of photography, but the studio's name is Focus On Studio. Very clever. Mm. Focus On Studio, and you can find out more at focusonstudio.com. So, a new resource, and if you need a bigger space, just check out focusonstudio.com, and as they develop their classes, we'll tell you about those as well.
Very cool. Hey, the Crossroads Brass Band is going to be presenting a concert of sacred and secular music this Sunday, June 2nd, 3 p.m. at the Roberts Park United Methodist Church. And you can get more information at crossroadsbrassband.org.
Well, there's fins to the left and fins to the right, and somewhere someone has a frosty cold margarita. Where am I going with this?
I don't know. I want to go there, though.
You know, mostly...
I want to go there.
Mostly we focus on not-for-profit arts events, but, you know, once in a while there's some for-profit events that we think you should know about. Amazingly, there are still tickets for the Jimmy Buffett concert, which is coming up on June 27th at 8 o'clock. It's part of his Songs from St. Somewhere tour 2013. Jimmy Buffett and the Coral Reefer Band, Eclipse Music Center, one night only. And if you've never been to a Jimmy Buffett concert, that is a fantastic place to hear him. Get yourself a designated driver and put on your parrot hat and your colorful shirt and your flip-flops and just go all out.
Cool. And while you're up there in that part of it of central Indiana, we'll say, you can also check out at the Fisher's Town Hall the exhibit New and Used, Works by Artist and Illustrator April Willey. And that opens on June 7th, runs through July 12th. It is free and open to the public. And again, that is at the Fisher's Town Hall.
At the Indiana History Center, You Are There, 1913, A City Underwater is one of the newest You Are There exhibits. The Great Flood of 1913, which affected a lot of the state, this particular exhibit was inspired by a photograph of Wolf's Hall Relief Station, which is on the west side of downtown. And so the exhibit kind of imagines what happened in the few days following the Great Flood. You can see the importance of daily local support in the community and the connection between human behavior and the environment. You can also meet members of the General Relief Committee for Flood Sufferers, relief workers, community leaders, and the flood sufferers themselves. So a little piece of Indiana history if your family's from here. Could be your grandparents, great-grandparents experienced that, and here's a way to learn a little bit more about what they went through. That's going on at the Indiana History Center this summer.
Very cool. Hey, something planned for a little bit later, Sharon. You'll like this one. It's the Secret Garden Tour that the Richmond Art Museum is doing in Richmond, Indiana. And it's taking place on Saturday and Sunday, June 22nd and 23rd, rain or shine. And is their 13th annual Secret Garden Tour. That's fun. Should be really neat. Something worth taking a little day trip out to check out. It includes plein air painters, as well as a parade of homes, and, of course, the garden tour. I tell you where it is. Is, but it's a secret, right?
I'm guessing that they tell you where it is when you buy it.
You can get more information at richmondartmuseum.org.
I figured that's how it worked. Hey, speaking of garden tours, this Saturday, June 1st, the garden tour titled Flowers, Trees, and Melodies takes place in Johnson County at the Heck Hasler Home. And the musical part is the Metropolitan Youth Orchestra will be playing as you stroll a three acre garden with many exceptional surprises is how that's billed. In addition to shrubs, trees, plants, and flowers, lovely statuary and striking pieces of architectural salvage are displayed throughout. And this event raises money for the Indianapolis Symphony Orchestra Association for Educational Outreach for the ISO.
Very good. Hey, last thing I got real quick, and just a reminder that the President Benjamin Harrison Holmes Wicked World of Croquet Mixer is taking place Saturday from 5 to 8:30 at the President Benjamin Harrison Home, and I will be there in my whites. Sharon,
you're
going to join me?
Wearing your croquet whites? Absolutely. It sounds like a grand time.
All right.
So go out and do something fun, and we'll see you again next week on
What'll We Do?
You're listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Indianapolis and Central Indiana. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. If your arts organization has an event or activity of which you think we should be aware, please contact us at least 3 weeks in advance. You can write us at The Art of the Matter, care of WFYI, 1630 North Meridian Street, Indianapolis, Indiana, 46202. Or you can email us at artofthematter@wfyi.org. You can also hear The Art of the Matter on WFYI.org.
Each June, the Modus Dance Company presents their Pairings event, which brings together wine, food, and original modern dances inspired by them. This year, Pairings takes place on June 8th at the White Rabbit Cabaret in Fountain Square. Travis DiNicola spoke with Modus's executive director, Heidi Keller Phillips, and board member, Kendra Hunkler, to find out more.
Heidi, Kendra, welcome to Art of the Matter. Great to see you both.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Absolutely. So let's, before we jump into talking about pairings, which is a super fun and tasty event coming up on June 8th, tell me a little bit more about Modus Dance, Modern Dance Company. You guys have been around for number of years now.
Is
it 10? Congratulations.
Yeah,
that's cool, Heidi.
We have a show planned in November for it.
Wow, that's awesome.
Yeah, it's called Chemical Peel because, you know, when you're 10.
When you're 10? Say that again.
It's called Chemical Peel. So, you know, when you're 10, it's time for some treatment.
Chemical peel when you're 10?
Like a face treatment.
When you still look so young.
We are young. We just lost our first tooth, really.
It's something like that. So Modus has been around now for 10 years. Modern Dance Company. Tell me more about it, though.
Yeah, Modern Dance Company, and focused on classes mostly for adults, 18 and up. Sometimes we'll go down to 13, but that's who come to our classes mainly. We have classes down in the Fountain Square area and at Garfield Park Art Center. We get out there in the community and do lots of site-specific work. We love to collaborate. That's what we do.
You guys are a little bit like gypsies because you do move around to different locations.
Do.
But
we
it seems
do.
Like you always keep landing back in that Fountain Square area.
We do. And we are, you know, our mission is to make a home for dance and for that to happen. And we're actually looking to make a new home as well. So we are actively fundraising for a new studio space.
Excellent.
Yeah.
And Kendra, you're on the board of directors and have been involved with the organization for quite a while. Tell me about your involvement.
Oh, I would love to. I first got involved actually as a dancer in 2001, right after college. And even though I hadn't focused on dance necessarily in college, Modus was a great way for me to continue experiencing and enjoying dance in the Indianapolis area without making it my full-time job. So that's how I first got involved. And then about 4 years ago, I decided to join the board and have been helping in a variety of respects with volunteer recruitment and management there, as well as with some fundraising in the last couple years. And of course, chairing pairings the last 2 years.
Chairing pairings.
Chairing pairings.
Okay, so we'll get to pairings in just a second, but I'm curious about this capital campaign you're embarking on to raise money for a space. Where are you on it? What's the time frame? What can you share with us at this point? I know this is a long-term endeavor here.
It is a long-term endeavor for us. We're looking at the next 2 to 3 years to really aggressively fundraise for this space, and we see this space as being multifunctional as far as other groups being able to use it too, not just us. So groups like No Exit and Eclectic Pond. These are all people who don't necessarily have their own space right now and could use a space that is available to them at a low price, a low cost.
So ideally it'd be income generating as well.
Yeah, it could be.
Have you started looking at ideal spaces?
I have started looking at the real estate, yes.
Yes, and I'm sure someday you will share that with us. what you do. Well, good luck with that.
And thanks.
So pairings, raising money just really to sustain the organization and the work that you do, a couple of performances that you do throughout each year as well as the classes. I've attended pairings, and what I just love about it is I think it's just such a fun idea that the dances are inspired by the food and beverage that are being paired together, right? I mean, that's a good brief summary?
Yeah, that's what's awesome about it. Yeah, and I can give you a few examples.
Please do.
If you'd like to hear about it. One of our pairings is a Pinot Grigio, Pinot Bianco, paired with a peach and green tomato bruschetta with sweet onion and cashew relish. And Ashley has created a fresh, youthful, precise piece that she envisioned being a hot summer day on the porch where the friends are drinking wine, shooting the breeze, and she's asked her dancers for her feet to take a place, the place of their gossiping mouths.
That's fun.
Yeah, so that's one. And then there's another one. This is really interesting. Lo Nuevo Covello is an Albarino wine. It's paired with a ham hock rillette made by Adam Ditter with an apple compote grain mustard, creme fraiche, and crostini. And Jenny Thomas has used the two-faced nature of the wine when we did our tasting, which is a fabulous little event, that she used the fact that it felt two-faced to us. And she's also a vegetarian, choreographing the ham course, of course.
How'd she end up with that?
Oh, that just happened.
Okay.
We don't know. She's created a piece inspired by flesh-eating zombies. In the most beautiful abstract way, of course.
Of course. Okay, there's one piece I want to hear about that I believe involves tofu and, like, silent movie, like, jumping through.
That would be the tofu salmon slider.
Okay, tell me about this.
This is a Sauvignon Blanc and a tofu salmon slider with Old Bay spice cashew sauce. And Caitlin was so inspired by this over-the-top kind of overt feel that she got from the wine and added her love of silent films. And the result is a comedic satire as the dancers wearing 1920s-style bathing suits are moving through artificial waves on the stage being attacked by fake sharks.
I can't wait to see that.
I'm in love with it.
So, okay, let's start with the wine. How do the wines get chosen? Is there a committee? Is this part of the board's responsibility? I mean, Kendra, you're working hard over there.
Yeah.
Sampling all those wines.
Yeah, absolutely. We actually have a tasting that we do a few months before the event. And what happens is first we kind of select the food and the people who are going to produce the food for us. And this year I'm especially excited about who we have to do that. We're doing something a little different in that this year we have two different chefs. They're going to be co-chefing, I guess, co-producing our food for the event. And one of them is Ian Phillips. He runs a catering company called Killer Tofu and is soon going to be opening a vegan vegetarian restaurant called Three Carrots here in Indianapolis. So he is of course,
yeah,
providing
I've heard
us.
Some word about that.
Yes.
Yeah, he's not the one doing the ham.
No.
No.
Okay. That would be Adam Ditter, who is a chef at Bluebeard Restaurant here in town, a very exceptional restaurant. And so they actually, I think, are good counterparts to one another because, you know, we've got sort of the vegan vegetarian fare. And then Adam, you know, even has a course. One of the courses is a
Heidi,
you want to chime in on that one?
Ice cream sandwich chocolate chip cookie. With vanilla ice cream and praline bacon.
Nice.
Praline bacon.
Yeah.
So.
And you're advised, if you are a vegetarian, not to eat the cookie because it's made with the bacon fat.
Yeah. from a creative standpoint, from the chef standpoint, do they start with the wine and then move to figuring out the food? Do they come to you guys with a whole bunch of different, like, fun foods they've been wanting to try and you guys get to sample and pick and choose and then the dancers get? I'm just trying to sort of get the sequence. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. So first the chefs bring ideas for courses to us and we kind of take a look at just what they list out and we say, okay, this sounds good. We could see that this going together. And then after that, we have the tasting. So for the tasting, I share the, you know, potential menu with our wine sponsors. And our wine sponsors select some wines that they think would go well with that food.
Nice. Okay.
And
who are your wine sponsors?
This year, our wine sponsors are going to be Republic National. And actually, an individual who's just a fan of Modus is sponsoring the other half of the wines. His name is Ed Gable. And
great.
He's going to be providing the other half of the wines this
year.
Nice. Thank you, Ed. Yeah, thanks, Ed. So after the wine sponsors kind of make the pairings, we then have the tastings. And that's when the dancers and the choreographers get to taste the food for the first time, and they start to kind of bounce ideas off the walls. It's actually a really fun event.
I bet.
Yeah.
I bet that's a great event.
It's a lot of fun.
And there is actually opportunities for outside people to come to that event because there's a creative sponsor opportunity.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So if you want to sponsor a course creatively, you can come to that event and start having some.
And how long ago did that take place? I mean, how much time did the dancers and choreographers have to create their pieces?
March.
Okay. March 8th-ish.
Yeah, so good, pretty quick turnaround and stuff. Wow, how fun.
Yeah.
And this year it's at White Rabbit, correct?
Yep.
So
last couple years
you've had that space, and that works well for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. We're selling it out, so get your tickets.
Get your tickets now, right?
Absolutely. Well, I think one of the things that's especially nice about having pairings at the White Rabbit is that it's a small, kind of intimate venue. So we do sell out most years, and you know, you get to be up close and personal with the dances, which is especially fun because it is particular. I mean, the dances are particularly made for the food and beverage that you're enjoying. So it's a really cool kind of wraparound experience in a cabaret theater.
And honestly, the dances are particularly made for that stage.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. These aren't dances that we do anywhere else. Just on that stage.
So give me a, we've talked about pairings. Give me a quick preview of what else you have going on this summer. Other classes going on that people can sign
up
for?
There is an awesome workshop coming up. The Summer Teen Intensive we do every year. And that is June 22nd and 23rd. That's when we open it up to the younger group to get some professional experience and from other teachers that they haven't been exposed to yet. And maybe some dance genres that they haven't been exposed to yet. So it's just one weekend and intensive that they can kind of expand their horizons. And then we enter into our inclusion project, which includes Breaking Ground on July 20th. That is a workshop open to all artists, musicians, writers, dancers, singers, painters, what have you. We're trying to take movement as a language that crosses many boundaries and allow it to break through creative barriers and open new portals of creativity for these people and get collaboration going, meet
another artist. Where's that take place?
That'll be at Modus Space. That is on Shelby and Hoyt.
Okay.
The one little studio.
The one that you do have, which is downtown square on
it's
Shelby
just outside.
Boy.
Yeah.
Very good.
Yeah, and then we are going to be taking part in Masterpiece in a Day, which is part of Art Square, down Fountain Square Art Fair thing that they do in September, and then we're doing some movement choir work for Spirit and Place, and then it's to the 10th anniversary show in November.
There you go. Well, excellent work that you're doing, and congratulations again on the upcoming 10th anniversary of Modus, and have a great time at Pairings. It sounds like it's going to be a quite the yummy event.
Come down.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Have a good time.
Travis DiNicola with Modus's Executive Director Heidi Keller Phillips and Board Member Kendra Hunkler. Their Pairings event takes place on June 8th, and you can learn more at motusdance.com. That's motusdance.com. Thanks for joining us today. The music for today's show is courtesy of the Buselli Wallerab Jazz Orchestra from their Heart and Soul album, available through Owl Studios at owlstudios.com.
Please listen to The Art of the Matter next week, Thursdays at 8 p.m. and Saturday at 7 a.m. when I learn more about the public art being created by the Da Vinci Pursuit.
And we'll have our calendar of events we call
What Do We Do?
So please listen next weekend to The Art of the Matter here on 90.1 WFYI Public Radio.
You've been listening to The Art of the Matter, a weekly show about the arts in Central Indiana and Indianapolis. Your hosts are Sharon Gamble and Travis DiNicola. Today's show was edited by Melissa Davis and produced by Travis DiNicola. The Art of the Matter, made possible by the ongoing support of listeners like you.